Good morning. Welcome to our service this morning. You'll see that Brother Charlie's not here. The Rimples are gone. And so we got Ernie Sadler is willing to come up and preach, and we look forward to him. I call your attention that we'll not have evening services tonight. We usually don't do that on holiday Sundays, and we also we're not having the lunch today. As far as announcements, when we get back to Wednesday, everything's going back to normal. Now the office will be closed tomorrow for Memorial Day. Brother Ernie will be back with us next Sunday, and I'll get into that more in a minute. Any announcements I'm overlooking, anything anybody needs to emphasize? Okay. Let's go to our prayer list, because we've got a very lengthy prayer list back there. I just want to mention a few things, a few people. Brother Charlie's sister, Shirley Shellhorn, her husband, Paul, passed away this week, and the Rimples will be, they'll be gone next Sunday for his funeral. Nancy Barrett, Brad Barrett's wife, Bill and Louise's daughter-in-law, is scheduled for surgery Tuesday involving the cancer that she's been fighting. And then, of course, Memorial Day weekend. We want to remember our country, and you'll see that we're emphasizing that with our songs. We want to remember our country. We want to especially remember those who are serving in the military, who have served in the military, and the families of those who have given their lives in service for our country. We owe them a debt because one of the reasons we're able to be here today and worship God, proclaim the message of Jesus Christ, is because of the sacrifice of those who have gone on before us and those who are continuing to serve. Now, I noticed that two of our injured folks are back with us. Glad to see you, and glad to see and hear Brandy back on the organ this morning. Any other prayer requests? Yep. Cynthia McDonald.
Yes, she is a retired lady from the Stone County Library that we made friends with years ago, and her daughter is 40, and she just passed away Wednesday from sickle cell anemia.
Oh. Okay.
Her daughter was named Tierra McDonald, but Cynthia McDonald is the mother.
Okay. All right. Any other? No. Sorry. If not, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day that you've given us. Father, we just praise you for allowing us to have the freedoms that we have. We praise you that we can lift up those of our family, our church, our community in prayer for the needs that they have, whether it's illness, bereavement, or other problems. We rejoice in seeing people recovering from physical illnesses. We pray for those undergoing surgery. We pray for those in the ministry, Lord, especially chaplains in military service that have so much to deal with. Father, we pray for our country, for those who serve and protect us. We pray for Brother Ernie as he leads us in worship later in the service. We just thank you for that we've been privileged to hear the gospel, and we just pray that this church will always be a strong proclaimer of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. Amen. All right. I'm going to sing Heal Our Land, and then we'll do our call to worship. If you would take your hymnals, turn to hymn 807, My Country 'Tis of Thee. And I'm going to ask you to stand. We sing through this, and then Brother Ernie will lead us in prayer.
Bye. go like we want them to, but God, in the end, is going to be the winner.
Amen.
Pray with me. Father, you are our great King. You are our loving God. Your grace is amazing. Your mercy is everlasting. Your love is unequal. Your power is beyond our imagination. Your provision for us is complete, lacking nothing. And your protection is all that we need. On this day, when we memorialize those who have given so much, we praise you for being the God who keeps your universe and space, and you're in control of it. We'll praise you for all that you do. As we continue to sing, as we pray, as we give, and we look into your word, may the gap between what we are and what we ought to be narrowed as we commit ourselves to you in full service and commitment. As I pray in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Be seated. 790. You know, we normally sing this hymn at Thanksgiving, but it's also appropriate because we are, it's appropriate for Memorial Day. It's appropriate for any holiday that pertains to our country. Because it's one of the things we need to do, ask the Lord's blessing on so that His will be made known. God of our fathers. After we sing this hymn, you see Rebecca Whips is going to do our special music, America the Beautiful. Then after Rebecca sings, we will have our offertory. After that, Dr. Ernie comes with our message.
Yeah. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this beautiful day you've given us. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to be in your house again today. Just be with us as we go through this time of our service where we give back a portion of that that you have blessed us with. Just bless the giver and the gift. Take it and let us use it that would be pleasing to you. Be with our preacher this morning as he stands before us, just fill him with the words that you've put on his heart to tell us, and let us open up our hearts and apply it to our lives to be the servant that we should be. We ask these and all other blessings in your name. Amen.
Thank you. I'm so glad I've been here this morning. I've already been blessed. Thank you, John, for reminding us of the need for God to heal this land. And that's the only way it's going to happen. God's Word says He's the great physician. He can heal our bodies, but He can also heal our land. The Republicans aren't going to do it. Democrats aren't going to do it. The Independents aren't going to do it. Finances are not going to do it. Technology is not going to do it. If this land is healed, it will be the power of God and the surrender of His people to happen. And maybe God won't heal it at all. Maybe He'll just come back and carry us home where the land doesn't need healing. Thank you, Rebecca, for reminding us of the beauty of America. No country like it in all the world. If every one of us were given the chance to go somewhere else and live somewhere else in the world other than America, I don't believe there's two people out of this congregation who would take that offer. It's so good to be with you this morning. I have some of my friends. I bet some of you didn't know I had friends, but I got a few friends, and a few of them are here this morning. David Bobbinger and his son, his nephew Russell are here. They're sitting right there behind Earl. And, four people back there on the back seat, Eddie and Sharan Ladner and two of their several grandchildren. We're glad to have them with us. And I love it when I look out and see those familiar faces in places where I'm having the opportunity to preach. One of the things that came out of the Second World War, and look at it any way you want to, the phrase that the people who lived in that period of time were the greatest generation because they were patriots. There was an expression during that time that all gave some and some gave all, meaning that there were some who gave all they had and still live, but there were some who died giving themselves for the cause of this country. No doubt you've heard the story about the young man who was in a foxhole with some of his buddies. A grenade was thrown into the foxhole, and rather than having all of them killed, he jumped on the grenade himself and gave his own life for his buddies that were in that foxhole with him. That happened more than one time, but we've all heard the story. One of my favorite stories about the war was a young man who was in the same platoon that one of his best buddies was in. They were attacked by sniper fire. They came under it, and this young man's buddy got shot and was laying out there on the battlefield screaming for help. And this young man said to his commanding officer, "I want to go get him." He said, "Don't go get him. They'll kill you." He said, "I've got to go get him." And after arguing with his commanding officer for a while, he just did what his heart told him to do, and he jumped out of that place where he was safe and went and took his buddy. And as he was dragging him back, he himself was wounded. And he got back to where his commanding officer was. There was his buddy who had died, and here was this young man all wounded. And the commanding officer said, "I told you not to go. It wasn't worth it." To which the young man replied, "Oh, yes, it was." His last words were, "I knew you would come." And that's God. God loves us. God is going to protect us. And as I got to thinking about Memorial Day and those who had given so much and the choices that they had made to give their lives for their country, I got to thinking about the agony of life choices. And we just have to make all sorts of choices every day of our lives. I guarantee you that every one of us already today have probably made a dozen choices. One of the first choices you probably made was, "Am I going to get up this morning?" I know when that clock went off at my house, I sure didn't want to get up. Then you go to the kitchen and you decide if you want high-octane coffee or that tasteless stuff. Or do I want something else? Do I want my eggs over easy, or do I want them scrambled? Then you go to the bathroom to get ready to come to church, and that's really an ordeal. Or do you look in the mirror and you say, now, if they have a hair in their face, did I get every hair on the shave? You men have a fairly tough time getting ready, but you ladies really have a tough time. What color are my eyelids going to be today? What color are my lips going to be today? What color are my fingers? We have all sorts of silly and ridiculous choices, but then we have some life-changing choices. I don't usually ask you to speak to me from your pew to my pulpit, but somebody tell me, what was the first choice a human being ever made? Can you tell me? It's in the Bible. Genesis. Eve. The devil says, eat it. It'll make you like God. And she made a choice. And throughout the Word of God, you find people making choices that are life-changing choices. Men like David. Men like Moses. Who made choices that, you know, really didn't turn out so well. And that is what we do in life. We make choices. Let me read a couple of passages of scripture. First one is the book of Deuteronomy. In Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19, I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you today. I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Choose. You've got a choice. Choose life so that you and your descendants may live and love the Lord your God and obey him. Then from Joshua, they've gone into the promised land under the guidance of Joshua and leadership of Joshua, the protection of God. They've taken the land. They're ready now to settle down. And this is what Joshua tells them in the final chapter of Joshua, chapter 24, beginning verse 14. Therefore, fear the Lord and worship him in sincerity and truth. Get rid of the gods your ancestors worshiped beyond the Euphrates River and in Egypt and worship the Lord. But it doesn't please you to if it doesn't please you to worship the Lord, choose for yourselves today the one you will worship, the gods your fathers worshiped beyond the Euphrates River, or the God of the Amorites in whose land you now are living. As for me and my family, we will worship the Lord. Now there you have three examples of decisions made, choices that were made. Several things we need to ask ourselves as we think about having to make life's choices, the agony of it. First of all, I think we need to ask the question, why do we have to make choices anyway? Well, that's just the way God made us. He made us different from animals. Two old hound dogs laying side by side don't wake up one morning and yawn a little bit, and one of them say to the other, you know, I hadn't chased a rabbit in at least 2 months. I think I'll go out and chase me a rabbit. If your hound dog do that, you better take them somewhere because a lot of money in that. Hound dogs don't think. They just react like hound dogs do. If old Bessie is down in the pasture and her bag is getting full of milk and she said, you know, I bet if I went up to the barn up there, Farmer Brown would come out and he'd get me milked and I wouldn't have all the... I don't think about that. She may come up to the barn, and she may have a bag that's hurting, but she's not reasoning. She's not making a choice. She's reacting as any old cow would. There are three areas of life in which we make choices. And every day, one or three of these areas of life, we're going to make them. The first one's in the area of moral choices. What is right and what is wrong? Will I do what is right, or will I do what is wrong? We have to make moral choices. And God's Word has laid down for us many do's and don'ts. God has laid down principles in His Word by which we are to live. And we have the opportunity to make a choice. As Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. As the writer of the book of Deuteronomy, prophet Moses said, choose life. that you may have peace with your God. Moral choices are going to have to be made in our lives almost every day. Will I do what's right or will I do what's wrong? And then there are survival choices. Choices we make every day of our lives. If you're standing on the side of the road and a car is coming, you have a choice to make. You can either step out in front of the car and get run over, or you can wait until the car passes and then go over. This is a survival choice. The reason I know that possums and chickens and armadillos don't have that opportunity is to see too many of them in the road that made the wrong choice, and they went under the hood or under the wheel of the car. We have survival choices, and we need to make those choices. Just recently, I was talking to a friend of mine, and when you get my age, when you get 81 years old, you begin to think about your poor old body breaking down. And I asked him, I said, if you were told tomorrow that you had cancer, and you could either have chemotherapy or radiation or some of the newer technological things that doctors offer, and maybe live a year longer with a lot of heartache and suffering and nausea and all the things that those things bring to you, or would you just say, I don't want them to do anything, let me live 6 months instead of a year and have a good 6 months? And we may, some of us, have to face that kind of a choice. Survival choices we're prone to have to make. Then there are lifestyle choices. The survival choices are things that other people may make for us. I read a story about a woman and her sister in 99 degree heat out in Arizona accidentally locked their 2-year-old child in the car, and it began to heat up inside that car, as you can imagine. With 99 degrees outside, it was soon 120 inside. And they were running around the car, desperate, crying, carrying on. One of the neighbors tried to open the door with the coat hanger, and these modern cars, you can't do that like you did those old cars. And they couldn't get it open. And a guy by the name of Fred Ariola, who was a record driver, happened to drive up at this moment, and he saw the panic of these women. He got out, took a hammer, broke the window of the car, and got the child out after she had already begun to turn purple. And she saved her life. It was a survival decision. He said, I thought to myself, would I put a window in a car above a child's life? And the answer was no. Guess what? The woman whose child it was and who owned the car got mad at him because he broke her window. See, survival choices are not always easy choices. But some of the more difficult choices we face are lifestyle choices. How am I going to live out the Christian life in an evil world? By now, you're probably aware of the fact that Christians are in a minority. With some 7.5 billion people in the world, some statistics say there's no more than 10% of them who are Christian. How do you live a lifestyle that exemplifies Jesus Christ and His glory? That's the kind of choices we have to make. Second question is, who are my choices going to affect? If I make a lifestyle choice that's not good, who's going to hurt? Who's going to help? If I make a decision and it's a moral decision, is it going to make somebody live a better life, or is it going to make them live a worse life? So who do my choices affect? Well, of course, I think most of all, the choices that we make affect us. If I make a moral choice or a lifestyle choice or a survival choice that is a bad choice, It might cost me my life, or it might cost me, almost cost my life, maybe leave me an invalid for the rest. When we make choices, the person that it most often affects the greatest is me. But it also affects our family. Remember the story of Achan? Joshua had led the Israelites against the walled city of Jericho. They marched around that city seven times, blowing trumpets. And the seventh time they marched around, blew those trumpets, the walls fell. They went in and just absolutely destroyed the people of Jericho. And but God had said to them, and Joshua had relayed this message to the people, do not take anything out of the city once it's destroyed. Well, Achan saw some real good-looking pants and a couple of shirts and a hat and some cowboy boots. He just saw some things he wanted, and he took them. You remember what he did with them? He carried them back to his tent, and he hid them in the ground. And God said as they went up against Ai, they were defeated. Now, I mean, they were just absolutely humiliated. And God said to Joshua, their sin in the camp. And so they began to cast lots. And it came down to the fact that it was Achan who had done this. And when he was confronted, of course, he confessed. But when they began to issue out punishment, as you remember the word of God, they didn't punish Achan alone. They killed his whole family. Now, I've never quite understood that, but then I'm not God. But making a choice sometimes affects our families in a very negative way. But then sometimes it affects our lives in a very positive way. You may not recognize the name of Tim Burke. Tim Burke was a very successful pitcher of the Montreal Expos. All of his life, all he had looked forward to was being a professional ball player and to make a difference in the sport. And he was successful. He and his wife were trying to have children, never could, and so they adopted four international special needs children. Now, that's taking on quite a hunk. First of all, when they're international, and secondly, when they are special needs. Tim Burke, at the height of his career, walked away from baseball. And someone asked him, why you've achieved what you always look forward to, why would you do this? He said, when I walk away from this stadium tonight, baseball is not going to miss a thing. They will go right on as if I never existed. But if I stay with baseball, I have a wife who's being neglected because of my travel, and I have four special needs children that need me. I had rather be a successful father and a successful husband than I had to be a successful pitcher of the Montreal Expos. Hard decisions sometimes come to us, and they affect not just us, but the people around us. They affect our friends. I have known individuals who were BFF? Is that what it is? Best friends forever? Oh, man, you couldn't part. If you saw one, you saw the other. You would think they were Siamese twins hooked together, and they couldn't. And then one day, one of them makes a choice that affects not just themselves, but it also affects their friend. And the next thing you know, you never see them together again. This can happen because of the choices that are made. It affects me, it affects my family, it affects my friend, and it affects my society. Somebody made a decision, made a choice to drop an atomic bomb on the Japanese cities of Nagasaki and Hiroshima. Right or wrong, the decision was made. And that event affected our whole world, our society. Someone made a decision to bomb Pearl Harbor. And the 7th Fleet that was there was almost totally wiped out. That decision changed everything. If you ever saw the movie Torah, 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 almost the final words of that movie is a Japanese general who says, "I am afraid we have awakened a sleeping giant." And indeed they did. From that point on, America and her allies totally dominated the war that we call the Second World War. Decisions that we make affect me, it affects my family, it affects my friends, and it affects the society in which I live. So, third question, when I make a bad choice, and every one of us are going to make bad choices, sooner or later, we're going to make bad choices. That's just human beings. A young man who had been appointed as the president of a bank went to a meeting, and there were all of these men of importance and influence, and he happened to see the chairman of the board, who was an older, distinguished man, and he went to him and said, "Sir, I need to ask you a question." He says, as the newly elected president of this bank, I want to make good choices. He said, how do I make these good choices? He said, experience. Well, the young man, not feeling that he fully answered his question, he says, how do I get experience? He says, wrong choices. And we make those wrong choices. So what do we do when we make wrong choices? Well, reality, some of us are so arrogant. Some of us are so arrogant that we don't think we make bad decisions. When I was director of missions of Jackson County, the secretaries, there were two of them, were very close friends with a lady in our community there. And this lady used to come about once, twice, maybe three times a week, drink coffee in the afternoon with the secretaries. One afternoon, she came in sort of beraggled looking. And I noticed the car she was driving was kind of banged up. And I said, "Juanita," I said, "what in the world happened to your car?" She says, "A man over on, can't remember the name, street now, close by the association office, he ran into me." I said, "Well, why did he run into you?" "Well, the police said I ran a red light." And I said, "Well, Juanita, did you run a red light?" "I don't run red lights." "Well, she ran that one." Sometimes we just deny that we make bad choices, that we make bad decisions, that we do bad things. And then there are those who try to cover it up. Make one bad choice, and sometimes in order to compensate for that bad choice, we have to make another bad choice to cover that one up. Like the people who tell one lie and then they have to tell another lie to cover up the last lie they told. I was in high school with an old boy like that, redheaded, his name was Jerry, and the lionest man I've ever met in my life. And I told him one time, I said, "Jerry, you just tell one lie to prop up the last lie you told." Well, we weren't good friends, and especially after that, we weren't. But there are people like that who just, they make a bad choice, and then rather than correcting it somehow, they make another bad choice to cover up the first bad choice they made. Then there are those who realize they have made a bad choice, and they seek God's forgiveness, improve their lives, and move on. The person who is prone to make a bad decision and refuse to admit it, the person who makes a decision that is one simply covering it up, kid, you have to keep covering up your bad choices if you make. The only way we can make a good choice is in a relationship with God. So what do we do? I guess this is the fourth question. What do we do after we've made these bad choices? Have you ever heard the old expression, water under the bridge? You cannot go back and undo what you've done. You might somehow compensate for what you've done, but just to change what we have done, we can't. So what do I do when I make a bad choice? Well, I think that God's word is very clear in the book of 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. If we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That is the idea that I think God's word has for us. If we make a bad choice, take it to God and say, I blew it. I can't undo it, but I want you to glue it back together as best you can, and let's move on. I think one of the best examples of bad choices is with Judas and Peter. When I ask the question, what do we do when we make a bad choice? It probably depends how God handles that choice. It depends on how we handle it. Remember, Judas made a bad choice. He chose to betray Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. And then there was Simon Peter, who denied the Lord three times. Well, with Judas, the end result was not forgiveness, but suicide. He made a bad choice. He realized the devastation of his choice. And God's word says he went out and hanged himself. Simon Peter, on the other hand, probably made just as bad a choice when he denied the Lord Jesus Christ three times. An old rooster crowed, don't you know, Peter's heart fell. Well, God's word says that it wasn't long after that they were walking on the seashore, and Jesus looked at Peter and says, Pete, do you love me? Peter said, Lord, you know I love you. And he said, go feed my sheep. And then the second time, God in Jesus Christ asked Peter basically the same question. Peter, do you really love me? Well, Lord, I just told you a few minutes ago I did. He said, go feed my little lambs. And then the third time he is asked the same basic question, Peter, do you love me? And by this time, Peter was probably a little bit agitated. And he said, well, Lord, I've told you twice. How many times do I have to tell you? Yes, I love you. And Jesus says, go feed my flock. Three times, Peter had denied his Lord. And three times, his Lord gives him the opportunity to confess, be forgiven, and move on. And from that point, Peter, probably along with the Apostle Paul, became the greatest influence in the early Christian church. So, how do I learn to make good choices? I think that the Word of God helps us with that. In Jeremiah chapter 42, the little remnant of people who had been left in Jerusalem are now being attacked by a guy in the next region, a guy by the name of Gedaliah. And they decide they want to go to Egypt to get away from all this. And they say, well, you know, we ought not make that choice without asking God. And so instead of asking God, they went to Jeremiah the prophet and said, Jeremiah, you pray to God and ask him, should we stay here or go? Jeremiah says, I'll do that after 10 days. Now, don't you know those 10 days were like 10 months for them waiting? Find Jeremiah, come back with the answer. Said, God says, stay here. I'll plant you and I won't pluck you up. I'll build you, not tear you down. They said, Jeremiah, you got to be nuts. Said, we ain't just about figuring to stay here. Jeremiah says, if you go to Egypt, the same fate that faced you here will face you there. And sure enough, it did. But Jeremiah says, choose God's way and you will live. Over in the book of Isaiah, God's word says, you will hear a voice behind you saying, walk in this way. And that is God. That's how we make decisions, when we seek God's will and are willing to commit to it because of His love. One last passage of Scripture found in the book of Psalm, 143rd Psalm, verse 8, 9, 10. Let me experience Your faithful love in the morning, for I trust You. I want to start my day off with You. When I wake up, I want to be seeing God in my life. Reveal to me the way I should go, because I long for You. Rescue me from my enemies, Lord. I come to You for protection. Teach me to do Your will, for You are my God. May Your gracious Spirit lead me to level ground. The only way we're going to make the right choices in life, the simple, the ones that don't make a lot of difference, we think, or the ones that are life-changing, is by seeking God's leadership. My challenge to you on this day, when we memorialize those who have given so much, may we be willing in the kingdom of God to give all that we are to His glory. This morning, as we come to our invitation time, there are some of you who know Jesus Christ as Savior, and there may be someone here who doesn't. If you've never made that commitment, I'm going to ask you in these closing moments to allow Jesus Christ to come into your life and make a difference in all of you. If you're a child of God and know that everything is right, and you just want to do more, make that commitment. If you've never gone to church, I think I'd fellowship this church and pray for you to work in the church. And God speaks to your heart, would you be able to do what He wants you in your life? Let's stand.
Six sixty-five, O Master, let me walk with Thee. Show them.